Greetings and welcome to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tuned in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next half hour as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we'll be concluding our series of studies on the topic, Only the Bad Die Twice. We're looking at the subject of death, and more importantly, the subject of life, how you can get life. This all goes back to our series of studies from a previous month when we talked about the topic, life, find it, get it, learn it, and live it. And now we're spending an entire month just dealing with the get it portion of that study. How can we get life? Well, the first key to getting life is to understand death. The first key to receiving the gifts of eternal life is to realize that the wages of sin is death. So that's been our topic for this month. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 is our text passage, and we'll be starting there again today. So if you want to take your Bibles now and turn to Romans chapter 6, we encourage you to do that. And as you get your Bibles, you might also want to get a pen or pencil and some paper to get down our contact information at the end of the program. At the end of the program, we'll be giving you an address, a mail address, an internet site address, and also a toll-free phone number. And you can use any one of those to contact us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have. Also, if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes of this entire month's series of studies, you can write and request that. And this will be the final week that you have the opportunity to request this current series on the topic, Only the Bad Die Twice. Right now, Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23. Romans 6 and verse 23. We'll use this as our starting point again today. Romans 6 verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This passage, as we've seen, is a passage that sort of lays out the options. You can take the wage of sin, which is death, or you can take the gift of God, which is eternal life. And we've spent this month thus far pretty much the whole time talking about the wage of sin, which is death. Today, we want to turn the corner, as it were, and talk about the good news in the story of sin and death and life. And the good news is that although the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life. As I said, we've spent the first three studies in this series looking at the wages of sin and understanding death and understanding some of the key elements about death and understanding that when the Scripture says that the wages of sin is death, that's really a far-reaching statement. We've defined death several times. We want to do it again today. Death is when someone or something ceases to function for its created purpose. When someone or something ceases to function for the purpose for which it was created, we say that it's dead. Now, we've looked at mankind and seen how that mankind has suffered death. Mankind is dead spiritually, mankind is dead in the soul, and mankind suffers death in the body of flesh. Also, we've seen that mankind in general is dead. That is, God created man for the purpose of having dominion on the earth, of ruling the earth in His name and for His glory. And mankind in following Satan, in disobeying God and following Satan, following the serpent in the Garden of Eden, has totally gone away from that purpose of God. So the fact that we're dead means that we're not serving that purpose of God to have dominion on the earth in His name. That all that death came because of Adam. In Adam, all die. The sin that comes upon us and the sin that brings death, spirit, soul, and body, and the sin that causes mankind not to be functioning for the purpose for which it was created, not to be having dominion on the earth. All of that sin came to mankind through Adam. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So it is in Adam that all die. And then finally, last week, we talked about the second death. And the second death, we saw, is the ultimate punishment, the ultimate carrying out of the depravity, the uselessness, and the meaninglessness, and the vanity of man. That mankind, those that are lost, those that stay in that condition of spiritual death, spends eternity as worm. Their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. As an absolute abhorring to all flesh. The scripture likens it to maggots boiling in the flames. That's the picture that's painted of the second death. Now, as we said, everything that we've talked about thus far has been the bad news side of the ledger, has been about death and how that death comes and what that death is. But today we want to turn the corner. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The point of this series of studies is how you can get life, find it, get it. We're talking about how you can get life. Now, why would we spend so much time talking about death if what we want to talk about is how to get life? Well, before you can realize that you need life and that you need a source of life outside of yourself and that you need someone besides just you to get life, you have to realize your condition of death. That as you're born into this world, as a part of the human race, as a part of Adam's seed, you're subject to death. You're subject to that second death. You're subject to all the vanity and the meaninglessness that death brings. And it's only when you understand how helpless and hopeless you are, and we all are, in and of ourselves, that you're ready to reach out to the giver of life. Turn with me back to the book of Acts for just a moment, chapter 17. The key theme verse that we used as we went through that series of studies on life, find it, get it, learn it, live it, was here in Acts chapter 17, verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things. He giveth to all life. Life comes from God. And the gift of life comes from God through Jesus Christ. So, we spent so much time talking about death so that we will all realize and understand that what we need is to find a source of life. There is no life in ourselves. There is no life in man by nature. We need to find a source outside of ourselves for life. That source is God, the God of Scripture, the God that the Bible reveals. And the way He channels that life to us is through His Son, Jesus Christ. And today we want to talk about exactly how that can happen. How can all of your death be transferred to Christ while His life can be transferred to you? How can He become responsible for all of your death and all the wage of your sin while His eternal life, the life of Christ, becomes your possession? Turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 22. Psalms, chapter 22, and verse number 1. Psalms 22, and verse number 1. Now, Psalm 22 is a prophecy about what Jesus Christ is going to say on the cross. Psalm chapter 22 and verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and I'm not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. Now, here in Psalm chapter 26, as I said, we see a prophecy about what Jesus Christ is going to experience on the cross and the things He's going to say on the cross. He starts off by saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are thou so far from helping me and from the words of my... The Father has forsaken the Son. As Jesus Christ hangs there on the cross between heaven and earth, He's forsaken of the Father. A relationship that has existed from eternity past and will continue to exist to eternity future. For that one instant in time, that relationship is broken. And the perfect unity that exists between Father and Son ceases there on the cross. And the Son cries out at that moment, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? He goes on to say, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted and were not confounded. God, our fathers trusted. They called on you and you delivered them. Why have you forsaken me in my hour of greatest need? In this time of absolute anguish and torment on the cross, why have you forsaken me? And then you see there in verse 6 that he gives the answer. But I am a worm and no man. Now last week we studied what a worm is in Scripture. A worm is a description of a soul that is experiencing the wrath of Almighty God. Their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And when Jesus Christ says there hangs on that cross and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he says, our fathers trusted in thee and they were delivered, but I am not delivered. Our fathers called on you and you answered, but I am not answered. And then he answers his own question, why hast thou forsaken me? When he says, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men. Remember what we read last week in Isaiah chapter 66 that they'll go out and look in the carcasses of those who have transgressed against the law of God, for their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched and they shall be an abhorring to all flesh. Jesus Christ hangs around the cross and he knows he's an abhorrence. Why? Because he's a worm. Because he's suffering the wrath of Almighty God for sin. He has become what those beings in the lake of fire will be. He is suffering on that cross the second death. He is, as he hangs on that cross, he is dying not just physically. He's dying spiritually. And he's suffering the penalty and the punishment that the second death brings for that spiritual death. You see, the thing that we have to understand about the cross is not just the physical suffering. You know, there was much ado about the movie, The Passion of the Christ, and all the brutal scenes of physical suffering. And to be sure, there was much physical suffering involved with Christ on the cross. But the physical suffering that Christ endured pales in comparison to the spiritual anguish. The spiritual anguish. In fact, turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, there's a description of that spiritual anguish. Isaiah 53. And notice with me, if you will, in Isaiah 53, verse number 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Made his soul an offering for sin. Notice verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. What happened there on the cross is much more than just a man suffering and dying physical death. What happened there on the cross of Calvary is that a man's soul and spirit were sacrificed and suffered the pain of the second death. That's what happened on that cross. Not just physically, but spiritually, Christ died the second death. That's why He cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that's why the answer is, because I am a worm and no man. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. Now why, on that cross, would God pour out His wrath upon His Son and forsake Him, and turn His back on Him? Why on that cross would the God of heaven and earth that had had an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ, why would He pour out wrath and judgment, turn His back on His Son, so that His Son cries, why hast Thou forsaken me, and make Him become a worm and suffer the second death? Here's why. Paul tells us why in great detail. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Verse 19, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing trespasses. He's talking about here what's happening on the cross. That God was in Christ there on the cross reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Verse 21, for He, that's a reference to God the Father, for He hath made Him, that's a reference to Jesus Christ, to God the Son. For God the Father hath made Jesus Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for us. Why did Jesus Christ taste the wrath of God on Calvary? Because He was made to be sin for us. Because on Calvary, God took your sin, and He took my sin, and He took the sin of all the cameramen here in the studio, and He took the sin of the people in the booth upstairs, and He took the sin of every human being that ever has, is, or will live on the face of the earth, and He placed all that sin on Jesus Christ. He reckoned, He accounted that sin to Him. He was made to be sin. He did not sin. He never committed an act of sin, but He was made to be sin because our sin was placed on Him. And when God looked upon His Son and saw that sin placed on Him, God's response to sin is always the same. It must be punished. It must be judged. And on that cross, as Jesus Christ hung there between heaven and earth, with your sin on Him, with my sin on Him, with the sin of all humanity on Him, God Almighty poured out His wrath in the second death on His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why He became a worm. Because He suffered the second death. He suffered the torment of the lake of fire. He suffered the punishment for sin. And that's why God turned His back. Because God is a righteous and a holy God, and He cannot look upon sin. He cannot look upon unrighteousness. He cannot have union with unrighteousness. And so that union that existed between the Father and the Son from eternity past was broken, and the Father turned His back and forsook His Son. But in doing that, when Jesus Christ did that, He paid the penalty for your sin. He died your second death. There at Calvary, He died your death. He took your place. He took my place. He took the place of every human being there on the, every human being deserved to be on that cross and to die not just physically, but to die that second death. And He took our place. And in return, Verse 21 says, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, because He took our place at the cross. Because He died our death, not just physical death, but He died the second death for all of us. Because He did that, we now can be made the righteousness of God in Him. Just as our sin was placed on Him and reckoned to Him and charged to His account, His righteousness can be placed on us and reckoned to us and charged to our account. Go back to Romans chapter 5. You remember when we were in Romans chapter 5 and we read about in Adam all die. Romans 5 and verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You say, well, how can that be fair? How can it be fair that by one man's sin, one man's sin made all men sinners? By one man's sin, many were made sinners. Well, when God views the human race through the headship of Adam and Christ, you see, it allows Him not just to condemn the world because of Adam, but that same principle allows Him to redeem the world because of Christ. Because if you go on down in that passage, notice verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. One man's disobedience, Adam, many were made sinners. But one man's obedience, Jesus Christ, as He went there on the cross in obedience to the Father's will, many will be made righteous. So, by the offense of that one, Adam, judgment came. Even so, by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men, the justification of life. You see, you may say, well, it's unfair for God to impute Adam's sin to all mankind. Then is it also unfair for God to impute Christ's righteousness to all mankind? Oh no, you say, that's wonderful. Yes, that's wonderful, but that same principle means that Adam's sin is imputed to us. Adam's sin is imputed to us, but by faith Christ's righteousness can be imputed to us. And that gives us the gift of eternal life. That gives us the opportunity to escape the second death. That means that even though in Adam all die, in Christ we can be made alive. Even by though by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, by one man's obedience many can be made righteous. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. You see, when He died there on that cross, He was dying in my place. He was paying for my sin. And I died there with Him. And I suffered the second death there with Him. Nevertheless, I live. Why? Because Christ was raised from the dead. I might have life too. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, what we receive, God received, Jesus Christ received our sin and our death. We receive His righteousness and His eternal life. Christ died a death that was not His. We receive a life that was not ours. Christ had placed on Him sin that was not His. We have placed on us righteousness that is not ours. It's His righteousness. And we receive it in Christ Jesus. Because we're in Christ, His righteousness becomes our righteousness. And that's the good news. The wages of sin is death. And we talk all about that. But the gift of God is eternal life. and it's free. You earn the wage of sin. Your father Adam earned it, and you've earned it yourself. Because every man listening to my voice, every woman listening to my voice, every child listening to my voice has committed some act of sin that makes you not righteous in God's sight and makes you need the free gift of eternal life. How can you get life? Simply by realizing what Jesus Christ did there on the cross. That on the cross He died your death. And if you simply believe and trust in that fact, that on that cross He died my death, paid for everything that's wrong with me, then you receive His free gift of eternal life. And you get life. The life that's in this book, the life that is in Christ, becomes your possession by faith. We'd like to help you understand more about this principle of receiving God's gift of eternal life. If you simply write to us here at Grace Alive, our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address, www.gracealive.us, and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. We look forward to hearing from you this week. If you'd like the audio or video cassette tapes of this entire month's series of studies, this will be your last opportunity to get them. Just request them. We'll be glad to send them to you without any cost or obligation. Until next week, we'll begin a brand new series of studies. We trust that until then, God's grace will truly be alive in your life.